Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Is It Just Me? The podcast we basically like to think is your 40-minute reassurance every week that you're not alone in being totally weird, paying far too much time and attention to the very strange and frivolous and silly things in life. We are here for you, don't worry. In fact, it's just me this week. It's just James Williams. Sadly, Joe, my co-host, my regular co-host, is a bit poorly and couldn't make it. But don't worry, it's not going to be a very flat show, just me wittering on for the next 30 minutes. I am joined, as ever, by our lovely guest, and they don't come much better than this week's one. He is, I would argue, a young man with one of the finest voices of his generation, both speaking and, more importantly, singing. He's back with a brand new album, Singing to Strangers. I'm delighted to say my co-host this week is the lovely Jack Savaretti.
Thank you very much for having me. That's quite an introduction.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
I did an honor.
Well, yes, but it is true, Jack, because I mean, I've been lucky enough. I've had two previews of your new material because you sang at the Christmas lunch for GQ, and then I came to your showcase at the very swanky Annabelle's. Can I basically thank you?
Because that was very swanky.
That's a bucket list.
That's
the only time I'm ever going to get in. So basically, thank you for ticking off that on my list
really wonderful night, wasn't it?
It was good cocktails.
I heard there was a fight at the bar at some point about how much the wine cost.
I swear there was not me. But can I just say, those people must have been, because that was free flowing.
It was
quite the do.
It always is when it's the music industry involved.
Exactly.
I was actually surprised at how sort of well behaved and quiet everybody was during the show, because so often, this is my sixth album, I've done a few showcases, and like you say, it's free flowing, and so is conversation usually during the show. So it was nice that everybody was really.
And also, it was, you know, it was a time of year, it was dry January, you know, people weren't supposed to be going out, and there you were leading everyone astray by making them come out on a Wednesday, I think, or a Tuesday.
That's what I do.
It was a school night.
Very good at leading astray.
Far more importantly, I mean, what I was going to say is I heard you sing obviously a couple of tracks of the GQ lunch, and then when I heard you sing Candlelight, which I guess is the lead track, right?
Yeah, from the opening track,
when I heard you sing that then at the showcase, it literally felt like a song I'd known forever. Like, honestly, it's got one of those things. It's a real earworm, is it? When they say a song gets right.
I've heard this before. I hope it's that. I hope it's not just plagiarism. Yeah. but I think it's that. It's a very traditional song, funnily enough. And I think especially when you hear it in the environment of Annabelle's, where we were with sort of, it was one violin, one piano and a guitar, you really get that sort of traditional, it taps into a sort of genetic memory of like, why do I know this song?
Yeah.
It's quintessentially, it could be Mediterranean, it could be Jewish, it could be Eastern European, it's quite folky in a sort of way. So it is quite traditional, it's almost like a waltz. And that's why I wanted to open up with this song, because apart from the fact that the name is Candlelight, it is sort of setting the mood for the rest of the album, a bit like when you light a candle and create that atmosphere. And so this is why I sort of led with this track.
I mean, I can already see a very sexy Argentine tango being danced to it this year on Strictly.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Somebody actually mentioned it the other day. They were like, could we use that for Strictly? I was like, please, by all
means. Oh my God, yes, hello. But I mean, obviously, you know, this is your sixth album. It's not your first time at this rodeo. But what was your approach? Because you did mention a bit at the showcase, you know, there was very much, you had an idea, didn't you? A kind of a concept for this album. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever had an idea really before. not just life in general, but before an album for sure. I usually write songs and then I go in and what happens, happens.
Yeah.
This was not the case with this album. I came back from about 5 years of touring pretty hardcore, because the two albums previous to this came out quite back to back. And so it was sort of relentless. And then I got home and thought, now what? I was actually really happy We moved out of London, moved to the countryside. I have two children. I have three dogs. It was a very different environment suddenly from any environment I'd ever written in before, which was usually based out of frustration, anger, motivation.
Did you have the Adele thing? She always says it's hard to write music when you're happy.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I really did, yeah. Actually. And then suddenly, luckily, I sort of had this life is beautiful moment. And I felt very Roberto Benigni in the sense that I suddenly reevaluated, should I say, romance and how wonderful it is to be happy and to be romantic and to be in love and to feel love. But romance was suddenly the thing, because I was at home quite a bit when I took some time off, and I was at home and I was listening a lot to the radio, and there's love song after love song, but none of them are romantic. There was no romance in this. I don't know if I explained myself. Like, all these love songs are very heartfelt, but there was no mood or atmosphere to them. And I thought, man, I really miss those sort of soundtracks or those movies. Even a lot of sort of rom-coms nowadays, they're not very romantic. There's a lot of love in them, but they're not exactly Un Homme et une Femme, these kind of things, you know, where people are on the verge of death for the sake of love.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to bring back a bit of drama, and I thought that's where I want to go with this album. I don't just want it to be me hunched over my guitar talking about how I feel. I really wanted to create an atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's quite cinematic, I guess.
And so you're all fired up now then, I guess. You must be really happy. Well, you should be very happy with how it's turned out, because it did sound great. Because I think what was interesting about the showcase is you said you kind of did different arrangements, right? And then the album actually was then played after you'd done the live.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how, that's always a test of a good song, isn't it? When it works stripped down, then obviously works as a big production as well.
Yeah, well, the songwriting I approach kind of similar to how I always write. And I always really give a lot of importance to songwriting, to the structure of it. I want there to be a story. I want people to sort of feel like they've either seen a film or read a book or just seen a really good photograph where they've noticed things that they would usually walk past. But when it came to the production, that's where I wanted the drama. That's where I really wanted that sort of effect of, you know, rather than showing up in jeans and a t-shirt, I wanted it to feel like somebody with a tuxedo had just walked in. The song had just walked in, dressed in its finest.
It feels very luxe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Good. That's what I was going for.
And so the album's out March 22nd, is that right?
15th.
Oh, 15th, sorry.
It's been moved.
It's come forward. That's always a good sign.
We can't wait anymore. It's been sort of pre-order it for so long.
People are gagging for
just
it.
Just get it out.
Yes.
Just get it out.
And then you're also going on tour. Is that's right, later in the year?
Yes. We are starting tour pretty much just before Easter, starting in Italy. Then we're going to Germany, Holland, and we're doing a lovely UK run, quite a sort of small UK run, not that many dates, but the main sort of event that I'm just having sleepless nights over is we're playing Wembley on the 31st of May.
which is a pinch me moment. Yeah,
yeah, it's a real surreal moment. I mean, I've had a few pinch me moments in the last 2 years, but this one is definitely, I mean, it's pinch me, but it's also, I'm just very proud of it. And now I'm almost more feel pressure about my entire team, my band and my production, because I know how hard they've worked to get us here. So I just can see, it's the first time I've seen them genuinely nervous and excited. Yeah. So
you basically got into Annabelle's and you're selling out Wembley.
I'm winning.
You are really, you are bossing it. And also, is it quite nice? Because how old are your kids now? Are they at a point?
Seven and three.
So they're at a point now, I'm guessing, where they're getting a sense of what dad does for a living.
Yeah, they've come to a few festivals. I don't take them on the road. The road is no place for a kid, that's for sure. not the way we do. We're not winning that much yet. It's still pretty unglamorous.
Right.
And unhygienic. So yeah, we don't bring the kids for that, but they've come to a few festivals. My daughter especially has been side of stage. They love it, you know. It's quite funny. What's annoying is they don't get excited about stuff. Like the other day, I came on radio while I was making breakfast and I was just secretly, and neither of them reacted, and I was like, okay, that can't happen. Every time Papa's on radio, you guys need to flip out, because this is not easy. Like, don't take that for granted. And they're like, sorry, Papa. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No one can knock the wind from your sails like a kid,
yeah,
right? They
totally.
Literally just say it like it is, or they just act like...
Well, the name of the album, Singing to Strangers, was sort of stolen from a conversation I overheard my daughter had, where she was talking to a friend of hers and explaining what her dad does. And she said something along the lines of, he just travels around the world singing to strangers.
Aww.
And I thought, well, I do a bit more. Well, actually, no, that's exactly
that
what I do.
Do. Yeah.
That is essentially what I do. Yeah.
But also, you've got good banter between songs, I think, Jack.
Thank you.
Because not often, and a lot of people don't have that. You know what I mean? A lot of people they stand there and they sing a song.
I did that for many years.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I was the quiet type for
so
many
what,
years.
So what, did it take you a while to literally find your speaking voice rather than your singing voice?
Yeah, that's probably the hardest part of this job. It's just being yourself is very difficult to do in front of a room of strangers.
Yeah.
It sounds silly, but I heard Helen Mirren say something recently. The hardest part of her job is walking across across a room and being convincing. It's not dialogue, which is just being comfortable within yourself, being comfortable within your own skin with what you have to say in front of a crowd. You know, singing, you know what's going to happen in those 4 minutes. It's all planned. It's like a script. But what happens in between, it's anybody's guess. And that takes a while to get comfortable with. I don't know if I would say I'm good at it, but I definitely am comfortable. It would be really hard to upset me on stage. I've heard people say everything to me now. I've heard it all.
But also, I'm sure, I'm glad for the sake of this podcast you found your speaking voice, because we wouldn't have got very far without that, to be honest.
As you can tell, I don't shut up.
No. We're about now to set the walls to rights, Jack. We're going to debate some very serious issues. Let's are you ready to do it?
I'm all for it.
Let's do it. Right, first up this week then, Mr. Savaretti.
Yes.
Is it just me who basically turns down anything that involves me queuing?
I think this is a cultural thing for me, because I am born in England. I'm half British. I have a British passport, but I am also half genetically Italian.
Yeah.
And anybody who's ever been to Italy knows that.
So thank God you're not affected by Brexit then.
I'm not affected. Well, we're all going to be affected by Brexit, unfortunately. Don't get me into Brexit. Let's talk about queuing.
Let's stick with the queuing. Yeah, Brexit, boring. God, literally been a Brexit holding pattern for 2.5 years. Nothing's changed. Anyway, back to queuing.
Yeah, back to queuing. Yeah, so my Italian side, if anybody's ever been to Italy, there's this wonderful phenomenon whenever you get to an airport, to a flight for Italy. Every flight in the airport will have an orderly line in a queue. Whereas when there's a flight to Italy, the minute they call it, this sort of half moon gets created around the check-in desk of people cutting in front of each other. And funnily enough, it's very strange to explain this to people who aren't Italian. It's very respected to be able to cut the line in Italy.
Really?
Yeah, like if you queue... You're a bit of an idiot. It's like, oh mate, you're just following the queue. Like if you cut in front, you're kind of like, people kind of are like, oh man, he got me. Like Jack, there's this kind of tip of
that makes you possibly the most conflicted person in the world, because obviously British people, we literally, queuing is our gold Olympic sport.
Oh, it's a sign of true like civilization, respect. This is what we gave the world.
We will sit there, bitch and moan about it for 4 hours, but we will stand there, and if anyone tries to cut it, excuse me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But see, when I'm in Italy, I become frightfully British.
Right, like,
I become sort of.
And then you channel the Italian over
then
here.
When I'm in England, I'm cutting queues left and center.
Wow. I mean, it's funny though, isn't it? Because it is a bizarre thing. When you think about it, there are certain things in life, and I've always said this a bit about dancing. When you think about what dancing is, and you look at people doing it, and you think about it, it's a very strange thing to do, people just moving around to music. And when you think about it, who invented queuing? It is quite strange that people just stand very still in a long line.
That would be something I'm actually going to spend the rest of the afternoon
thinking about.
Wikipedia and Googling that.
We say it's frivolous, but actually we talk about the real deep down stuff. Yes.
Where does queuing come from?
Who invented queuing?
Like pigeons. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Exactly.
Pigeons and queuing. Where did they come from?
Yeah. Well, we actually had Ward Thomas on the podcast, and we actually delved into why men have nipples, and the girls actually gave us the answer why.
They knew.
Yes, they did.
But please enlighten me.
It's because apparently you're given nipples before you're assigned a gender.
Ah, that's true. They grow before
exactly.
Yes.
So the Ward Thomas girls are going to be on tour with you, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're coming on us. They're divine. And I saw them for the first time when they were like 13.
Oh my god!
I think because they're still sort of.
God, I hate overachievers.
Yeah, no, seriously, talented overachievers.
But you guys can recreate this, but you can talk about these really deep down important
nipples.
Issues and nipples and on tour.
That'll be my icebreaker when I see them on tour.
But I mean, it is funny, isn't it? Because I mean, to be honest, anything with an airport queue, that's almost like a subcategory of this because I've seen airports and queues. I mean, speedy boarding.
Well,
I mean, that
airport,
makes me
like,
very tense. Just the notion.
Speedy boarding
doesn't
unbearable.
Exist. Doesn't exist.
Doesn't
you pay exist. Basically to queue.
The worst part is when you get on the bus and then everybody else gets on the bus and they're closer to the door to get off the bus. So you've essentially.
Does your heart sink any quicker than when you're getting off a flight and you see a bus? That I hate it when it's not attached to that.
But
little.
Do you ever fly to Italy? Because like Italy the Olympic sport in Italy is genuinely like cutting. Cutting is. I mean, it's so aggressive. And I tell you what, really.
And can I ask? Is this everywhere? Is this
everywhere,
like in the
everywhere.
Bakery?
Everywhere. In the bank. Forget the bakery. Even in the bank, this happens. But what really frustrates me, speaking of queuing again, is when you're getting off a plane, and the people on the seats behind you try to get off before you.
Mm.
That's when I'm all for queuing. That's when I'm like,
yeah.
I wish they made an announcement. We are going to land. Please get off one in the row that you're assigned.
Yeah.
Don't try and get off in front of Because that just slows everybody down. It becomes traffic.
I do think it tells a lot about the person on a plane that will actually let you go in front of them. And they, as getting off, you think, you're a nice person.
You're a
whereas
good
the
person.
People that literally cuts you off, you're like, you're a bad person.
Totally. Yeah. I judge that their entire existence on that split second.
You've come to the right place to judge. We've made a whole podcast on this, Jack.
I'm with you.
So basically what you're telling me is I need to channel my inner non-existent Italian when it comes to this whole queuing nonsense.
I guess, because I can't get my head around, it's queuing for the bus. That cracks me up. That really cracks me up. Like I remember when I first moved to London and I was like, why is everybody in the line by the bus stop? And they're like, they're queuing for the bus. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, that blew my mind. Because I can get it for a plane. You know,
yeah.
There's a little bit of civility there.
Yeah.
You have a number. There's a bit of logic to that, you know. But the bus, to me, it should be about survival of the fittest.
Well, see, my thing is, right, now I've got to an age now, Jack, where, to be honest, trying to get me out on a Saturday night in Soho, going to a club, I mean, literally, I'm way beyond that point. I mean, you've said you've moved to the country.
Especially if you have to queue.
Yeah, what I'm saying, right? So when I see people, I'm like, dudes, nothing can be that good that's worth queuing for.
This is half an hour of your life you're never going
to
get.
I heard, obviously you're an artist, this wouldn't have ever happened to you, but I heard about somebody the other night, and bearing in mind this was one of the Brits after parties, who queued for an hour and a half to get into a Brits after party.
Yeah.
Now I'm sorry.
That says more about the person than the queue.
I would have just gone, fuck this, I'm not. No party is worth this. I don't care if
there was a check at the end of that queue.
Even if Prince has been brought back from the dead and is doing a surprise PA, I'm not queuing that long.
Yeah.
I've got better things to do.
I'd rather show up somewhere crazy early.
Yeah.
Than queue.
Yes.
Like I'll go for that option.
Okay, but hang on. How do you feel about those people that are queuing for the Apple store the night before a product goes on sale?
That's just weird. Like, not that early. When I say early, I mean like
you're in your sleeping bag.
No, exactly. I'm not bringing a tent. But that people do that.
I know. But people queue. I do feel though. And this is what annoys me a bit, is like sometimes, you know, now, because I've gone into rants about no reservation restaurants. And, you know, because I think some restaurants love this idea that they're such a hot spot, there's no reservation, and people are literally queuing.
That pisses me off, too.
Yeah. I'd rather go to McDonald's.
Yeah, well, it is essentially the same thing. That I kind of agree with you there. But also...
Does no reservation restaurants even exist in Italy? Is this a terrible London affectation?
I think so. I think it creates that thing. It's the same thing about having people queuing up outside when it's empty inside.
Yeah.
It creates a buzz. So I think there's that. And
having
that
said
really
that, obviously we need to obviously make it very clear that if you are queuing up to buy Jack's new album, Singing for Strangers,
and you should really bring your tent.
Yeah, exactly. We absolutely applaud that. Any queuing that involves basically buying Jack's
just
album,
download it. You don't have to queue it.
Exactly. If only you could just download every experience, you would never have to queue again.
Well, we're getting there.
We are.
We're definitely getting there. I mean, we don't. I live in the countryside, so we've become proper.
But
like,
do you
an
notice though? Because
family.
I worry that with me, it's the fact that I'm becoming increasingly impatient. So, you know, and so sometimes I wonder, do you know what? It would do you good to queue. You know,
yeah.
I'm waiting patiently.
Think about, do I really want to purchase this? Even?
Yeah.
Like, in the queue, I've changed. That does happen to me in queues. I've gone like, oh, forget about this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out of here. I've left things behind. I've just stormed off.
You are. That's happened to me a lot in Zara.
Yeah.
For some reason, Zara never have enough staff on their tills. And
no,
I'm always stood
true.
There going, and I'm literally queuing for 10 minutes going to buy a top. I'm going, actually, I don't want this top that bad.
Yeah, you know what? Forget about it. I'll just.
See, sometimes queuing is good. It gives you time to
it's
reflect.
Bad for the economy.
The high street's suffering
forget
enough.
Brexit. Queuing is bad for the economy. Where does the word queuing come from? Can you answer me that?
Queuing.
Because that's, I grew up in an American school.
Yeah.
And that word is alien to my American friends.
Also, it's a bitch to spell. I mean, people always get that. They can never quite
I actually misspelled it when I wrote you to do this. I had to sort of go back and read your email to see how you spell it.
Absolutely.
Queuing.
It's one of those ones that people have to think 3-4 times. Is that the right order
like
of
use?
There's
isn't
two
there?
U's. Yeah. I mean, you know.
What other word? Well, maybe there's many, actually. I wouldn't say that. Being dyslexic, I shouldn't start talking about spelling.
Well, to be honest, we've established that queuing is a mindfuck, whether you're doing it or spelling it. So I think we've pretty much established where we stand on that one.
It has no meaning.
Absolutely.
Me. Has no meaning.
But if you are sat there going, yes, Jack has hit the nail on the head, Italians don't queue if you're Italian and you're listening to the show, because we do have listeners.
No, but
all
this
over
will
the world.
Really frustrate your English audience.
Oh,
they'll be
will.
Like, that is so true. I hate going to Italy because nobody queues.
Well, if you have
everybody
any,
cuts the queue.
If our lovely listeners have any strong feelings about queuing or anything else, do get in touch with us. We love hearing from you. The usual email address applies. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Do send us your thoughts and also send us any ideas for future topics. We read every email, I promise.
Next up, is it just me who hates surprise parties?
Now, I have to ask you this. Have you ever had a surprise party thrown for you?
Yes, and this is kind of why I hate them. Because I've had four attempts by my wife.
Right.
Four failed attempts.
Right.
And this is totally not her fault. This is why I hate surprise parties, because I'm a little bit of a control freak.
Right.
So when it comes to organizing anything, I really... I don't have to be the first one to know, but I have to be the last one to make the final call. This is really reflecting bad on me more than anything. Four times my wife, bless, has tried to make this happen. And because I've been sort of sniffing around too much, she's just gone, you know what? What do you want to do? Who do you want to come? And I've sort of broken it. And I felt tremendous satisfaction, if I'm honest, once I've defused the surprise plan.
Were you that kid that was always looking for your Christmas presents, where they were hidden?
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. But I wouldn't open them.
No.
I just wanted to know where they were.
The heads up.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. So does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it does. Well, to be honest, I'm kind of with you on this one, because because I did once successfully have a surprise party thrown for me. And the worst thing about it is how smug I was about literally on the day of the party taking the piss out of surprise parties. So basically what happened was I worked with this guy and we shared a birthday, and as we were leaving work that very day, I said, what are you doing for your birthday? And he said, oh, I'm having a surprise birthday party, in quotation marks, you know, because he said, yeah, I basically know I'm having a surprise party. I'm going to walk into this restaurant and I'm going to pretend to be surprised. And I was going, oh my God, aren't they the worst?
That's lame.
Everyone always knows. People always find out. No one ever falls for that crap, blah, blah, blah.
Amazing.
Cut to, I leave work. I go home to my studio apartment, literally a tiny box apartment. I walk in and there are about 50 people who all jump out and scream my happy birthday at me.
Amazing.
And I literally nearly shat myself, because it's a combination of two things. The fact that for the first 3 hours of that party, I just walked around shell shock, because I think I was genuinely physically in shock, because it was just so weird, and I got the fright of my life. And then I just felt like a prize idiot, because looking back, there were all these glaring neon signs saying, you're having a surprise party, you're having a surprise party, none of which I twigged, you know. So I have to say, when it's done.
But did you enjoy it? Because there is something very touching about a surprise party.
Oh my God.
That's one thing I would say. As much as I don't like a surprise party because of the setup, every time it's happened, even though I've pretty much known to the T what's happening or whatever, there's always somebody there that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And that always blows my mind and makes it totally worth it.
And how do you feel about attending surprise parties? Are you fine with that? Or does it make you tense?
I don't know. I always find it a bit contrived when I'm...
Have you ever given away the game to somebody else? Because that's the worst feeling.
No, but I've been a part of quite successful ones. Not organized them. Just been a part. But like, I've seen it really work.
Yeah.
And it is cool.
Yeah.
Like, but I always feel like the person who's having a surprise party misses out on sort of half of the fun stuff, which is everybody...
Because they're in shock. Take it from me. I know.
But because so much happens before they arrive.
That's true. Yes.
So much of the getting ready and all. That's the really exciting part. And the poor guy whose birthday is having none of this experience.
I mean, I have to say, I recently was involved in throwing a surprise party, and trying to shut your friends up after they've been drinking for a good hour
about it,
and trying to turn off the lights in the dark, because obviously we're just all overgrown kids, so the second you turn off any lights, everyone starts laughing, giggling, you know what I mean, they're pissed. So you know, it's like herding drunken cats trying to keep anyone. So what inevitably always happens is anyone approaching will just hear that rumble. But I have to say, I do remember when I put the key in the door to my flat on the day of this surprise party, I could physically feel just this heat. And I kind of went, there's something very wrong here. And then I thought, no, this can't be happening. And then I opened the door and then, oh my God, this is actually happening.
But that's brilliant though. I mean, that aspect of it, I love.
Also, it was so random. It was like a 23rd birthday. It wasn't like a 30th.
That's when you've got to do it.
Yeah.
That's when the surprise
Because people
comes.
Expect it, don't they,
the
milestones.
Yeah, if it's a 30, 40 or 50,
yeah.
Like, why is nobody paying any attention?
Let's mix it up with the 27th.
And that I also hate too, when you sort of can't, you don't know how to react around, when you know that somebody's having a surprise party. I hate the tension that causes me. So like, you know, oh, we're going to throw so-and-so a surprise party. And I know about that for like a month before. Mm. I avoid them. I actually end up avoiding these people who are going to have a surprise, because I just know that if I have too much to drink.
You'll give a game.
Or I'll give it away. Or like I'll just randomly say, see you next Sunday. You know, see you there.
But don't you think there are some people in this world that literally just like, they like to turn everything into a surprise? Like, I have certain friends that won't even like read the menu in a restaurant because they want to be surprised.
Surprise me.
It's like, oh God, really?
That's a bit too much.
Exactly. But I mean, how do you feel about like just little surprises? So like, you know, would you surprise your wife?
I don't like little romantic gestures? It's funny because my daughter's the same.
Oh, really?
And it's really funny, my son and my wife love a surprise and are actually kind of really underwhelmed if there isn't the occasional surprise every now and then.
If it's just a nice dinner.
Yeah, no. Exactly. They're like, well, I kind of knew. They really like this.
Where's the hot air balloon?
Yeah, but I'm quite, what's the word? Making it up as you go along.
Oh, spontaneous, yes.
So surprises aren't really my thing. I sort of either don't do it or be like, let's do this.
But do you think as well, because I would imagine your day job, pretty much, you know, your diary is very, you know, you have to be at a certain place at a certain time for a lot. You know, it's very much regimented, isn't it? So is that what, does that tie into the fact that then you quite like knowing what's happening?
Especially if I've just come off tour and stuff, the worst thing you can do to a touring musician is surprise them. Every surprise on our job is usually bad news. You know, it's usually like something doesn't work. So-and-so didn't show up. What has happened to, you know, why is the venue not there? Where are we? That kind of stuff. So I think when you get back, you just want, you become quite ordered. You sort of get pushed around, like, this is what you do. You get very structured, ironically.
Yeah. So do you think your wife's now officially given up on trying to surprise you then? Is that it, do you think?
I mean, I know she did, because this recent birthday, I literally organized the entire, she was just like, you do it. You do it, I'll get a cake. That was sort of her mentality.
Well, I was going to say, because to be fair, if it's a bit like, you know, that person doesn't like it, it's a bit like, I mean, I always say this about, you know, strippers. don't get me wrong, like, strippers make me very tense. Men, women, stripping, I just don't like it. It makes my palms clammy. I find it very embarrassing. And also, even when it's not me, like, I mean, oh, God, if anybody got me a stripper, I'd never talk to them ever again. But you know what? You've gone to those parties, and I feel embarrassed for the person having the strip. I just think, God,
I'm like, this doesn't look like a pleasant experience. No. This looks like just a mocking.
I always think, God, people, my friends know that would be my worst nightmare to hire me a stripper. And I guess in the same way, if you know somebody hates surprises, it's not fun organizing it because it's a lot of work and then you get no reward for it.
And I think that's what me and my wife have gotten to. I'm pretty bad at hiding, like, yeah, I knew that was happening. Or I'm terrible at receiving gifts. I love giving gifts. I love, like, at Christmas, I have more, and not because I'm generous, not at all. Like, I genuinely get a buzz
at the buying.
But also, like, giving somebody something that I'm sure it's going to be something they're going to love and all that. I get a real kick out of that. Every time I get a gift, again, I'm going to sound like a horrible person, but being quite a control freak, I'm always like, yeah, that's not the one, but yeah, thank you, that's not the one. Like, that's close enough, I guess.
So you literally are that man that's impossible to buy for?
Yeah, I am. I got an umbrella for Christmas from my wife. I was like,
it rains a lot in this country, Jack.
I know, but an umbrella? Like, But the fascination thing to me was like, when did I ever give this? Like,
is it about me that says umbrella?
Yeah. What, like, have we spoke for the last year? Like, where did this come from? Like, I don't remember ever saying, God, I really love a classic umbrella. I mean, it was a beautiful old-fashioned umbrella.
But. I mean, you are on Cypri. I mean, it's not as bad as, I remember the Christmas gift that one of my female friends got from her boyfriend was a gym membership.
Ouch.
Exactly. That did not go down
surprise.
Well. Yeah, surprise. You need to work out more. I mean, really? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Happy Christmas.
That's proper. Unless, of course, she asked for it.
No, she really didn't.
She really didn't.
No. She was hoping for some nice perfume or, you know, a handbag. Not a Fitness First membership.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's terrible.
There you go. Anyway,
I've had those, you know, like washing machines and stuff like that. You're like, mate, that's like, you can't do that. As in a gift. It was a birthday present, not Christmas. Got a friend of mine, I was really excited that he had just bought his girlfriend at the time a new washing machine. And it wasn't done at all in that sort of chauvinistic manner that it represented. It was done generally because she'd moved into a flat and everything. And
she probably said, I need a new washing machine.
She needed a washing machine. And it was a really lovely thing. However, I was like, you shouldn't have just buy something else for the birthday and then buy the washing machine.
I hate to say it, and I hate to talk in very sweeping general terms about men and women, but I think that is often what happens with men. They don't really like it. So they go practical and they go, oh, yes, she mentioned she wanted a washing machine. Oh, she'll love that.
Totally,
and then
totally.
They don't have that sort of, had they had to queue for it and had that 10 minutes of thinking, oh, is this the right thing
I
to be
do
doing?
This not on her birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't because they're so stealth-like. They go in, they make the decision, they do it. Yes.
Very
anyway,
true.
There you go. If you're sat there going, I've had the worst ever gift sent to me. Do send us your worst ever nightmare gifts.
We'd surprise love to hear. Bad surprises when it comes to
tell
gifts.
Us your terrible surprise stories and your terrible gifts. We'd love to hear them. We'll read them out. Again, the email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, lastly then this week, Mr. Savaretti.
Yes, where are we at?
Well, we're sticking with a sort of party theme here. Is it just me that has a love-hate relationship with fancy dress?
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I tell you why. Because a friend of mine has actually a milestone birthday. Don't worry. It's not going to be a surprise. He's organising it himself. So he's turning 40. And I think a bit like the 40s have become like the new hen do's, haven't they? They've become or milestone birthday. Yes, you've got to go major, you've got to go abroad, you've got to really throw all bells and whistles at it. So he's now feeling this tremendous pressure to come up with a theme. And we pretty much sat there for about 2 hours a few weeks ago, literally running through all the different ideas for fancy dress.
Can you give away the...
Well, it's not happened yet, but one of the ideas was a pajama party. And he said to me, what do you think? And because he'd had some negative feedback. And I said, well, do you know what? A, I think girls would love it because girls can pretty much wear pajamas as fashion. You know, I know girls I used to work with, you know, pajamas as outerwear is an acceptable thing.
But I found
thing.
Girls now, whether it's Halloween, fancy dress, whatever, they manage to somehow make it all look really
fashionable,
great and hot and sexy. Whereas guys, we don't have, like, we just look like idiots.
This
any
is the
fancy
thing.
Dress there is.
And I think as well, pajamas, you're either going to look a bit like Wee
the
Willy
kid
Winky.
From the Snowman.
Or you're going to look like Hugh Hefner.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's very true.
So anyway,
I never realised the pervy side of a man in pajamas until just now.
Thank you, Hugh Hefner, for your legacy.
Thank you.
But it was an interesting point because I just kind of thought then, you know, we got into a big debate. Oh, well, you know, but ultimately it's really easy. Everyone has pajamas or everyone can buy pajamas. And then,
does everyone have pajamas?
Well, they probably don't, but you could probably just buy them on eBay, couldn't
enough.
You, or somewhere.
Yeah,
you know what to do.
Yeah.
Whereas
you've always got the robe.
Yes. And then we started thinking then about trying to make it too clever. And then basically, you get to a place where you just realise, look, the people you're talking about hate fancy dress, so they're just going to bitch and moan no matter what the fancy dress could be black t-shirt and they'll bitch and moan because it says costume, you know. And they'll, because some people really get very, in the same way you get tense about surprise parties, some people literally are allergic to fancy dress. Like one of my friends won't go to a fancy dress party, if you know, because he has a phobia of clowns, so he's always scared that someone's going to dress as a clown.
Well, I don't have a phobia of clowns, but I definitely have a phobia of fancy dress.
Do you?
Like the carte blanche fancy dress,
right,
where it's like anything goes,
right?
That really, it kind of just irritates me.
Well, that's my point as well, because I said to him, you don't just want to have something so vague that no one knows what to do.
That's what I mean, and I hate like having to think about
as in not actually a tight under
do I pay them?
Now that's a party.
That's one hell of a dress code. But I mean,
that would be great.
Please wear your tightest briefs and come celebrate my 40th. It's not that kind of party. But yeah, so it's, yeah, but you know, like an actual concise to the point.
I like eras.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like, you know, 60s or 50s or 40s.
Yes.
I love that. That's great because it's like, oh, okay.
So
cool.
You're not a bar humbug when it comes
no,
to fancy
exactly.
dress.
But it's also just normal clothes.
Yeah,
like you don't have to. It's the sort of dressing up, like I this is a very British tradition. I find the
fancy dress.
Yeah, in my experience. I mean,
in Italy,
absolutely. You have carnival, which is the only time we get fancy dress. But even carnival, it's quite well. Recently, now it's kind of been hijacked by Halloween and all that. And Halloween,
but it's Halloween because I mean, Halloween definitely. When I was growing up, was not as big a deal as it is now.
Halloween
now
taken over
is
the world.
Insane.
Yeah, it's a marketed thing all over the world. But even Halloween, like, is hilarious. I go to Halloween parties all the time and there's nothing Halloween.
No, there's nothing scary.
No, it's sort of, there's a lot of cats.
Yeah, it's basically now, oh, how can I look sexy?
And men and women. And put blood on my face, basically.
Most of my male friends are just anything that involves, oh, I'll just go as a Marvel character and show off my ripped torso.
It's so true. That has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's weird. There are some that don't bother me. Like, there's a Mexican tradition, Day of the Dead, and I love that, where they sort of all this, they do this crazy makeup to sort of, this crazy sort of skeletal makeup. I like when it's about eras, but it's the, like I said, it's the sort of fancy dress that, there's a new one right now that everybody does. It's OTT or something.
No.
Over the top.
Right. So that, is that just very
that's the
elaborate?
Fancy dress. Oh. Yeah. So it's like gold chains, big hats. It's, I mean, actually, that's basically.
Very extra.
Yeah. Very, exactly. Very, yeah. And that. Yeah, I just don't feel
I guess
that much.
My feeling about when I said, is it just me that has a love-hate thing? Because I'll be honest, when I see, if it's a Halloween party, if I see, I do have that initial thought of, oh God, it's fancy dress.
But then
I go, and then I get really into it. And then I'm that idiot, literally spending
over the top.
100 quid on Amazon crap. Do you know what I mean? Or going to
an antique shop.
The fancy dress shop in Clapham. Going, yes, I'll spend 60 quid on basically a bunch of very flammable tats.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I once spent 200 quid on a top hat.
Yeah.
For a fancy dress party.
You would do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Because also it's panic.
It's so stupid.
It's the ultimate panic buying because often you leave it to the last minute.
Yeah, and
so you've got no choice.
Other friends of yours are like, they start telling you about their outfits and you're like, damn, you've really thought about this.
I know.
I'm going to look like a schmuck. Like, I need to get this going.
So what's your proudest fancy dress? Because I was going to say, I remember going to, I love going to a fancy dress party and then my favourite's always the ones where you go, who are you? And then they tell you and then the penny drops and you go, that's genius.
Like, yeah. You're right. Those are great moments.
Yeah,
when you're
I remember
like,
going, my friend Terry, we once went to a, it was a 70, I think it was a 70s themed party, and he literally walked in as Concord. He literally, he's a graphic designer, he made
a Concord,
a Concord costume.
Yeah, I've and seen that was, funny ones. Yeah. I mean, the ones that I won't mention. On.
Well, I was going to say, this is the era of political correctness.
Yeah, the era of political correctness. I won't record myself, but I've seen some very funny ones. My proudest moment was about a couple of years ago. We went to a friend's 35th, I think it was. So not like a massive milestone, but it was on this Osea Island.
Amazing, yes.
Where like the tide goes out and you get sort of
stuck. It's like a private island just outside near Essex, right?
Near Essex, exactly. And you have to make it there by sort of 6 o'clock.
Or you can't get on there.
Or you can't get on. And then you're stuck there till like 8 the next morning. Yeah. So it creates this kind of eerie vibe anyway.
It's a bit fire festival.
Exactly. And to be fair, actually, it was organized as well as Fire Festival. But it was really fun. And that was the over-the-top theme.
Yeah.
And me and my wife went dressed kind of in the same outfit. We went as sort of New Orleans voodoo doctors.
Yeah.
That's where I got the top hat from. And we sort of both wore these like black dungarees, big top hats. And then we just had like all these kind of like New Orleans pearls and everything on it. But mine, I just looked like a sort of really weird homeless person and my wife looked stunning.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, how is this is why I hate fancy dress.
Men always look a bit shit.
Men always look really shit in fancy dress. Like, I've never gone to fancy dress and go like, damn, he's rocking that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe once or twice. But like generally speaking, all the girls look amazing.
Yeah.
And maybe there's one dude who's got it right, but the rest of us look like schmucks.
And have you still got that top hat, Jack?
I do. It's in my son's room.
I was gonna say for 200 quid.
I've still got it.
It's an heirloom now.
I still got it. I actually used it to do like really bad magic tricks at my daughter's birthday like 2 years ago.
It's come in handy.
It's come in handy. Late nights, the top hat always comes out.
Well, Jack, I think that's all we've got time for this week.
I've learned a lot about
you
myself.
Have. Next time I see you, hopefully we'll have a big fancy dress surprise party to celebrate the success of singing to strangers.
That people will be queuing up for days.
They will be queuing at the door, around the block. Your album Singing to Strangers,
yes,
out March 15th.
Yes.
Amazing. Do check it out, everyone. It is a fantastic album.
Thank
really
so
well
much.
Done. And good luck with the tour, Jack. And thank you for joining us on Is It Just Me?
Thank you for having me.
And guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.